And let us pray together. Holy and almighty God, our hope and strength, by the power of your Spirit today, we pray that you would prepare the way in our hearts for the coming of your word, our Savior, so that we may learn to see the glorious signs of your promise fulfilled. Through Jesus Christ, who is our Savior and Lord, we pray. Amen. On this first Sunday of Advent, actually for all the Sundays of Advent, our Old Testament lesson comes from the prophet Isaiah. Today it's chapter 64, verses 1 through 9. It's on page 153 in your pew Bibles, and it's here. And now let us hear the word of the Lord. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains would tremble before you, as when fire sets twigs ablaze and causes water to boil. Come down to make your name known to your enemies and cause the nations to quake before you. For when you did awesome things that we did not expect, you came down and the mountains trembled before you. Since ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you, who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. You come to the help of those who gladly do right, who remember your ways. But when we continue to sin against them, you are angry. How then can we be saved? All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind our sins sweep us away. No one calls on your name or strives to lay hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have given us over to our sins. Yet you, O Lord, are our Father. We are the clay, you are the potter, we are all the work of your hand. Do not be angry beyond measure, Lord. Do not remember our sins forever. Oh, look upon us, we pray, for we are all your people. And here ends the lesson from the prophet. We're in a new year now. Advent begins a new church year. And so we have a new gospel. So today we're hearing from Mark, no longer in Matthew, Mark chapter 13. Verses 24 through 37, and it's page 719, and here. And Jesus is teaching his disciples, and he says, "But in those days following that distress, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, people will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that it is near, right at the door. Truly, I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and he puts his servants in charge, each with their assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone. Watch." And here ends the lesson from the gospel. And finally, the lesson from the second half of the New Testament comes from Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth. It's chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. On page 806, and here. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be his holy people, together with all those everywhere who call in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge, God thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will also keep you firm to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And here ends the lesson from Corinthians. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So as you've already heard, today we're in Advent. And Advent, as you heard when we lit the candles, Advent means coming. And so in Advent, we intentionally prepare for the coming of Christ. On the first Sunday of Advent, we look to the manger, but more than that, we look to Christ's coming at the end of time. And so the colors in Advent change from green for ordinary time to purple, which is the color of royalty, but also the color of remorse and repentance. Because in Advent, we repent and are contrite from our sins as we wait for Jesus to come again. So this first Sunday of Advent focuses much more on the second coming of Christ than the first one. It's as if all during Advent we're drawing a circle, and on the first Sunday of Advent, the circle is wide, and it takes in all of the universe, all of the cosmos. And then each week, as we get closer to Christmas, the circle narrows and tightens all the way to the stable. So today, the big question in Advent is really, what time is it? Paul and I were laughing this week because I was thinking of this sermon, and I had this song running through my head. Does anybody really know what time it is? Does anybody really care? And for some reason, I thought that was a Beatles song, and he Googled it, and no, it's Chicago, right? So now I'm showing my age, but you know, lots of you are laughing. Does anybody really know what time it is? Does anybody really care? Because I said to Paul, you know that song, does anybody really know what time it is? And he said, does anybody really care? Okay, so that's the song that I have running through my head when I'm preaching this sermon is. But that's really the big question for this first Sunday of Advent. Does anybody really know what time it is? And the Old Testament text has an answer. The answer to the question, does anybody really know what time it is? The text says, for Isaiah's text says, it's time to repent. In the Middle Ages, Advent was much more a season like we think of Lent, right? Out there in the stores, it's really already Christmas, right? There's, you know, tree lightings, and we had Black Friday and Cyber Monday and everything else, right? And Christmas carols are everywhere. I know I went to the store, to Michael's. I was decorating my house because I was having a party at Thanksgiving. And I went to Michael's, like, right after Halloween, and I needed some fall stuff, you know, leaves or orange and green stuff. And I went to the clerk and said, you know, I don't see any Thanksgiving stuff here, because I went into Michael's and Michael's was like Santa everywhere in red and green. And she said, oh, there might be a table up at the front. So in the stores, they went from Halloween, boom, right to Christmas. You know, don't stop at Thanksgiving. Like, but for us in here, it's a different kind of time. And in here, what that looks like is repentance and contrition. So how do we get ready for Jesus Christ in the church and in Advent? Is by thinking about all the ways that we failed God and our neighbors, and asking God to help us do better. The kids got it. I said, how do we get ready for Jesus Christ? How do we get ready for Christmas? And one of Peyton, I think, said, be good. Right? Well, there you go. I wanted to say, everybody just heard her sermon. I don't have to preach anymore. Right? Okay. Isaiah, in chapter 64, is pleading for God to come, for God to tear open the heavens. The text says, rend the heavens and come down. So Advent in here begins with lament and pleas, not like the world. The world is fully into Christmas, right? Santa's coming everywhere. It's why one of the first things we do as a church here in every Advent is have a blue Christmas service, which we're having on Wednesday night at 7, which really just kind of names the reality that for many people, Christmas is just not this joyful, happy, 100% wonderful experience. It brings up all kinds of old baggage we carry for our past, and if there's any grief that's going on in us, Christmas is really hard. So at our Blue Christmas service, we just name that. and say Christmas is really hard sometimes. And the people that we've loved and lost, the people with whom we have broken relationships, we need to be able to give them to God and just say, this is really hard sometimes. So Advent begins with lament and pleas for God to come. Isaiah reminds us that we're not in control. Isaiah uses this wonderful image of potter and clay and said, if God is the potter, then we're the clay. Without God, we have no life. We're just an inanimate lump, as the clay is before the potter takes and puts the clay on the wheel and shapes it and forms it and gives it a purpose. It's God who gives us life and purpose and power to follow him. So the lesson from the prophet on the first Sunday of Advent is that as we wait in Advent, God shapes and forms us into the people he's calling us to be in his own good time. The gospel text, too, has Jesus talking about the end of time. I read this week somebody that said, this is really a difficult text to begin Advent, because out there, people are switching all of their Christmas lights on to celebrate the holiday. But the gospel reading really talks about a time at the end of time when all the lights will go out. It's not really a nice fireside Christmas story when we're all just going to sit around a roaring fire with hot chocolate and marshmallows and Christmas carols playing on the radio or on the Pandora or whatever. This is really about the apocalypse that will happen at the end of time. The last few Sundays from Matthew's gospel, we've been talking about a time when God will summon through his son everyone before him, and he'll separate the sheep and the goats, and we'll be held accountable for our actions. And here on this first Sunday of Advent, it's those same texts. This is strange language to talk about the end times on the first Sunday of Advent. And since Jesus said these words, scholars have been arguing, what does it mean when Jesus says, nobody knows when the end of time is, not even the Son himself? What does that mean? Only the Father. And we can't know for sure, even though scholars have been trying to figure it out. I mean, how many times has someone said, the world is ending, the world is ending, the world is ending, get your stuff together, right? And then the world doesn't end, and we're all still here. So all we can really know for sure is two things. One, Jesus will return. When the gospel writers wrote their story of the life of Christ, for them it was all of a piece. God's announcement of his coming son and the baby born in the stable and Christ's life and miracles and then death and resurrection and ascension and then second coming. It was all pieces of the same story. And they couldn't talk about this first coming of Christ without talking about the second coming too. So we really can't sing the songs about the baby in the manger unless we can say Jesus Christ is coming and it's our job to be ready. Jesus says, he tells the disciples, it's like somebody that goes away and he leaves his servants in charge of the house and he tells them to be ready. He literally tells them in Greek to be on guard, to be on watch, like a soldier would be a sentinel post. Be alert, be awake, because you don't know when the owner of the house will come back, whether it's evening or midnight, or when the rooster crows, or at dawn. We only know for sure that he will come, and he will gather his loved ones, those he's been shaping and forming, just like the potter, into his people. And our job is only to keep awake, to wait in hope. In Advent, we're really in a different kind of time. There's a woman, her name is Jan Richardson. She's an artist, but she's also a poet. And this is how she talks about Advent. This is a season of deep memory a time when we're called to hear again the ancient stories of the God who has journeyed with us from the beginning and who, in the fullness of time, took on flesh and came to walk in this world with us. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was in prison. He was a German theologian who spoke and wrote against the Nazi takeover of the German church in World War II. And he was imprisoned for his beliefs and his teachings. And he died in a Nazi concentration camp at the very end of World War II. The Allies came and liberated his camp, a week or two, I think, after the Nazis killed him. But he wrote profuse... a lot, and the last writings of his life were published after his death in a document called Dietrich Bonhoeffer's Letters and Papers from Prison. And he wrote from prison as he was waiting to be liberated, only for him his liberation came in his death and his presence with Christ, not the Allied soldiers coming to the camp. He said that Advent is a lot like being in prison. Okay, so that's just a really cheery image. I feel like I'm really kind of Debbie Downer today, but Bonhoeffer says Advent is really like being in prison. And he says, because you're stuck in a place with the door shut, and it can only be opened from the outside. So that's what we're waiting for in Advent. We're in a different kind of time. We're waiting for someone to come and open the door and set us free, and the person that's coming is totally outside. And we're praying for God's Spirit to work in us in this waiting time. And so what we say on this first Sunday of Advent is that someday the door will open, and God is coming as God has come in the manger and the cross and will come in glory at the end of time. And the question is, can we be ready? And the answer is, of course not. How can we ever be ready for that? Is anybody in here ever totally 100% ready on Christmas morning? If you are, I don't want to know, okay? Can we be ready? Of course not. But God shows up in spite of us. God will keep us firm to the end, as Paul tells the people in Corinth, as they're waiting for Jesus Christ to come. As they're waiting for the revelation. It's something God is doing in and through us. God will show up, is the promise of Advent. No matter what time it is, it's God's time. It's Advent time. It's our time. Amen. And let us pray. Holy and Almighty God, we thank you for the gift of this season and the gift of this time to wait together in stillness, to think about Christ's return at the end of time, to ask your spirits to make our hearts and lives ready for the coming of Christ. As he came in the manger, so he comes again to each of us. We pray in his holy name. Amen.